This is the Employment Law Show.
You betcha. Welcome to it. 6:32. We're ready to go. We hope you are as well. Next half hour, we're going to make you smarter when it comes to, employment rights, workplace rules, rights, all that stuff that you don't know about. We're going to, get rid of some of the myths and misconceptions in that regard. Alex Lucifero is your guy. Reach out anytime to Alex. Beyond the half hour, 1-855-821-5900, help@employmentlawyer.ca. And the website, anytime, you can use pocketemploymentlawyer.ca as well. If we get to some email a little later on in the half hour, we shall try to do so, but it's going to be employment law, true or false. I am asking Alex, he is answering true or false, and we're going to take it from there. But always starting off with the case of the day, pal, what do you got going on?
Good Monday evening, John. Thanks very much. Back at it, of course, with another edition of the Employment Law Show. Great to be here as always and be back live and on the air talking to our listeners about employment law, about workplace rights. Really, as you very well said, John, if it has to do with your workplace, if it has to do with your employment, we cover it all here on this very show. As usual, John, it's been a theme over the, since the start of the year, over the past couple of months, quite a busy start to the week, I would say. Lots of people getting in touch with us, asking questions about what their rights are, even employers reaching out to us and asking what options they might have in certain situations dealing with employees. Of course, lots of changes happening in the workplace this year, John, leading to what we call constructive dismissals or severance claims. Some employers are bringing employees back to the office. Still, John, after 4 years post-COVID, if we can say, we're still dealing with returns to work and whether an employer has the right to return you back to the office or whether you can continue working remotely or not. And of course, unfortunately, still dealing with a ton of terminations, John. Employers restructuring, people being let go, laid off from their jobs, unfortunately, being offered severance packages. And it continues to be the case, John, 9 out of 10, and that's probably putting it lightly, 9.5 probably out of 10 severance packages that we see, John, still fall well short of what employees are actually owed as severance. It's such an important issue. Employees need that financial security when they're being let go from their job and looking for that new job, moving forward in their career, in their employment. And that's why severance is so extremely important. We're here to talk about all of it. We're here until 7 o'clock this evening to take your calls, answer any and all questions you have. And so let's get to the case of the day quickly here, John, as we line up the calls. Interesting situation, John, only because this is a topic that we have been preaching about on this show for many, many, many years. Certainly you and Lior discuss this all the time. You and I have had this conversation a good few times over the course of the show. And that is employees signing employment contracts mid-employment. So you're an established employee of a company. You've been working there maybe a few years, maybe many years, such as this gentleman's case. Spoke to a gentleman today, 15 years with the same company. John, and a few weeks ago, his employer reached out to him and said, hey, we're revising our HR policies. We're revising all of our employment contracts for employees. We'd like to offer each employee of ours, new or already there, already established, new employment contracts to sign. Here you go. It's a 5-page document. Read it, sign it, and get it back to us within a week. We deal with this situation, John, all the time, and we caution employees all the time. Be very, very careful about what you sign with your employer, particularly when you are already an employee of that company. Almost all the time, and I literally mean almost all the time, employers will have terms in new employment contracts that might limit your severance. They might allow the company to make changes to your work. They might allow the company to temporarily lay you off. There may be a host of things that a new contract allows the employer to do where they would otherwise not be able to do them. In other words, to put this a little bit more straightforwardly here, by signing an employment contract as an already established employee, you are giving up rights, most likely, to your employer. You are giving them powers that they don't already have. And it's case in point, John. I spoke to this gentleman today, again, 15-year employee of the company, 63 years old. John, this is a senior established employee. Employer comes to him and says, here's a new contract. Have a look. Give it a sign. Get it back to me. Yeah. Right? No thoughts about maybe you want to get legal advice. They didn't point out the terms in the contract that were maybe problematic. And unsurprisingly, John, there were a bunch of terms in the contract that were problematic. Yeah, of course. I mean, you could almost expect it at this point. The contract limited his severance to the absolute minimums, which would be completely unfair for a 63-year-old with 15 years of service. It allowed the company to temporarily lay him off, and it allowed them to make a whole host of other changes. So I told him very plainly, John, and this is going to be the advice, you know, again, probably 10 out of 10 times, when you're looking at a new employment contract with an employer and you're an already established employee, listen, unless it's a massive pay increase, and even then, by the way, you want to be careful with what you're signing and the legalese and the details of what a contract says, even if it does come with a raise, even if it does come with a signing bonus. But I told this gentleman very, very clearly, it is not in your best interest to sign this employment contract. You can very politely and very professionally tell your employer no thank you. You have that right as an employee. They can't sit you down and force you to sign that contract. It's within your rights to say no thank you. I'd like to continue my employment on the same terms of employment that I currently have. One last detail on this point, John. This just to illustrate the difference for this particular gentleman. And again, I've mentioned it a couple of times already. 63 years of age, John, 15 years of service. This gentleman was in a supervisory position. His severance entitlements, as things stand right now, John, if he is let go from his job and is owed severance, he is going to be looking at something probably in the range of anywhere between 16 and 18 months as severance. Not weeks, months, right? That's effectively a year and a half's pay that he would be owed if they let him go. If he would have signed this contract, however, the extent of his severance entitlements would be 23 weeks. 23 weeks, of course, is about 5.5 months, give or take a week or two. So he'd be going, if he signed this contract and the company decide to let him go next week, which, by the way, they can if they want to. It would be terribly unfair and unjust, but they can. If he signed the contract, he gets 5.5 months severance. If he doesn't sign the contract and they let him go, he gets 18 months of severance, obviously a 13-month difference. And that is going to be a six-figure difference for this gentleman. He's making a good living. So that just goes to show you the difference that signing or not signing these contracts can make. They can literally cost an employee hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I say that without exaggeration, because this is this gentleman's particular situation. Hopefully his employer backs down and says, sure, no problem. We'll let you keep working. We won't bother you again. And he's going to make the right decision in that respect. It's a word of caution for employees out there. Be careful when your employer offers you a new employment contract to sign.
We continue the Monday night edition, Employment Law Show, 640 Toronto.
Welcome back to the Employment Law Show.
And you bet, welcome back to it, 642 Schools here. Alex Lucifero is your guy, stlawyers.ca. Sam Firu to market. Reach out to Alex after the show and any other time. He's got a great team with him as well. That's 1-855-821-5900, help@employmentlawyer.ca. But Rajid, thanks for hanging on through the break, big guy. How are you this afternoon?
You're welcome. I'm 100%. How are you guys today?
We're loving life on a Monday night. Thanks for calling in. What's your issue, pal?
I was laid off a job just above 2 years ago. I was working there just under 3 years. The formal title was never given, but I was the de facto planning manager. I was working at the plant, and there was also a head office where the sales office was located, and I was the intermediary between the two companies. Any and all orders must go through me. I was the one who was approving for them, planning for them, planning production, planning shipping, just about all things when it came to any single order that came to our building. I worked in close collaboration with the production manager. But again, I was the only person who, at the time, at the place, who was able to do the job that I was doing. The only, if ever I called in sick or if ever I had to go on a vacation, there were outside consultants who had developed the program along with me to do the job. Towards the end of my employment, my ex-girlfriend had committed suicide, so I wasn't at the best of my mind, so I had a lot of time off, some scheduled, some unscheduled. And that kept going on and on, but I was given numerous chances. But one day I was no longer given that chance, even though I had pleaded for it. Which is not okay. I understand that, given the absenteeism is not okay, given that I was no longer reliable for that position. What I was not okay with was the fact that I was not given a single dollar of severance. Is that okay? Is that illegal? And another point to make is, just on the day I was let go, I was told, hey, maybe after a while, maybe after a month or two, when you're okay, give us a call and maybe we can think something. That was a condition that was given to me. Of course, I did do that, but nothing came out of it. And one final detail, before I was let go, I was asked to switch position from my current, from my planning position to a different position, which I had deeply, deeply, deeply complained about, because I had told him, hey, I'm not at my best state. And if you're asking me to do something that I do not have the best confidence doing, even though I could have done that job just fine, I had done that job in the past as well. They forced me to do it, and again, that was also another discouraging factor for me to just not be myself and be able to show up to that job. And next thing you know, I was let go without any termination, any severance at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, it's a situation we see quite often, Richard. And listen, the devil's going to be in the details here in terms of if there were some concerns about attendance or maybe about performance. Rigid, it depends on the severity of those issues. If we're talking relatively minor issues or very few incidents, maybe it was one or two incidents and then you were let go. Listen, I could tell you that is not going to be what we call cause for termination or just cause for termination, in which case you would be owed severance. Now, the other side of that coin, Rigid, just being perfectly honest with you, is if you had five write-ups and you were in your file and you were warned once and warned twice and maybe warned a third time, maybe you were suspended prior to being terminated, you had been given many, many, many chances. Listen, it is the reality that may very well be cause for termination, in which case you wouldn't be owed any kind of severance. Here is my biggest concern in your situation, Richard. And interestingly, it's something that you said right at the start of your summary there. You mentioned that you were let go 2 years ago, or just about 2 years ago. That's my biggest concern in your situation, Rigid, because an employee only has exactly 2 years from the date of termination to deal or to start, I would say, a severance claim. Meaning, Rigid, if it's 2 years and a day or 2 years and a week that you've been let go, I hate to say it, but you're out of time. If you're still within the two-year period, if the two-year mark is coming up, well, then you still have time to start a claim or to pursue severance. So listen, regardless of the circumstances, I wouldn't even get into any more detail at this time. If you're still not at that two-year mark, Rajid, I urge you, give us a call at the office. Let's deal with this very, very quickly. And if it's within that two-year mark, we still have time. If it's beyond 2 years, if today, Rajid, is beyond 2 years, I have bad news for you. You've run out of time. That two-year, what we call a limitation period, is very strict. No court, or even the Ministry of Labor, for that matter, will allow you to bring a claim after the two-year mark from the date of termination.
Rajid, really appreciate the call, pal. I'm going to let you go, but here is that number to reach out for finer details with Alex, for sure, 1-855-821-5900. But here and now. All right, Rick, thanks for hanging in there, pal. How are you tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Love having you on. What's going on with you tonight?
Well, here's a scenario. I'm a welder by trade there, and I work for a company that started 2 years ago. We manufacture cement hoppers we do cement trucks that way there. Now, the scenario here is that the company went for sale there, I'd say, about 3 weeks ago. And they laid us off for a week for the new buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I said, no, hold on there. I said, you laid us off. I said, no, I want a record of employment. I want the ROE. They said, Nori, no, we can't do that for you. I said, no, hold on there. Now, it's not my fault that, what's going on between you two companies, you guys are selling, you're the buyer, whoever the seller is. Should I not be entitled to a week of pay in lieu of that being off that week? It's not, I mean, whatever's going on between these two, the buyer and the seller is not my deal. But I think I should be compensated for that week. And they don't want to compensate it. They don't want to give me a record of employment. They say, well, what's a week of record of employment going to do? I says, well, I can still file, regardless whether I get it or not. It'll still be on file for a waiting period. But I says, I should be compensated for that week that I'm not working. because you're selling the company to somebody else. They say, well, it's not their fault. I said, well, it's definitely not my fault. I'm sitting around. I should be compensated for it. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're on the right track, Rick. A couple of interesting issues here. So, you know, first off, Rick, you're a non-unionized employee, I gather?
Yeah, correct. Yep.
Yeah. And was there any kind of employment contract to sign with the new employer, with the purchasing company?
No. Nothing was offered to any of us guys, any of us players at all. Yep.
And you're currently working for them, right? You've already started your tenure with them? Yeah.
Yeah, they called us back, yep.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing, Rick. So a couple of basic points to make. So number one, listen, your tenure with your previous employer should certainly count towards your new employment, meaning you're not a day one employee now that you're working for this new company, the company that bought out the other company. All of your, if I heard correctly, 32 years of service, which is tremendous, by the way, should count. And you continue now as a 32-year employee moving forward, right? And the fact that you haven't signed any kind of contract is actually a benefit in that respect, Rick, because that means it means automatically the new employer has to recognize those previous years of service. And if they let you go, Rick, you're owed severance based on that entire 32-year history. And if you didn't sign any kind of employment contract with the new company, there's nothing contractually that limits your severance entitlement. So listen, that scenario, generally speaking, ticks a lot of boxes for employees. You are in a pretty strong bargaining position as an employee of 32 years in that scenario. Now, this week off is, as you rightly say, is the concern, right? Because on the one hand, I absolutely agree with you, Rick, and we say it all the time on this show, and it's true. This is the way the law works. An employer is not allowed to temporarily lay you off, lay any employee off, at least non-unionized employee, without their consent or without a written contract that allows them to do so. So, Rick, if you're in a situation where you have no contract that allows the company to temporarily lay you off, right, and there you haven't been laid off previously, and if you have, it certainly makes your argument a little more tough. Right. But if you've never been laid off before temporarily and there's nothing in your contract allowing them to do so, then you're right. They didn't have the right to temporarily lay you off. You may very well be owed that additional week's pay that you didn't get, or maybe they're trying to cover it with vacation or something like that. Now, my concerns really, Rick, and not to drag this out too long here, and I think maybe it's worth a conversation off air, quite frankly, I have two real concerns in the situation. Number one, I'm concerned that the week off that they forced you guys to take here is being done perhaps a little cynically to try and reset your length of employment and maybe consider you a day one employee going into the new company, right? So if there's a gap in unemployment there, right, maybe they can draw a line in the sand, although they wouldn't have a record of employment of it, quite frankly. So there's another good point you made there. But that's a little fishy to me. I don't like that scenario. So what I would like is for your current employer to recognize your previous years of service, right? It could be in an email. It could be in the company's internal documents or internal, you know, intranet or whatever it may be, right, on your profile, however they handle HR documents. I would want some sort of recognition of your previous years of service just to make sure in the future that this is clear. And, you know, and the other point I'll make, Rick, and I'll leave it at this for now. Again, we can continue the conversation off air if you'd like. I'd be more than happy to have a chat about it. Listen, in the grand scheme of things, Rick, while I agree that that week should be owed to you, given your scenario, right, given the fact that you're now a 32-year employee with the new company, there's no contractual limitations, I would want you to be strategic about how far you push this issue. Should you be speaking to your employer about it? Should you be requesting it? Should you be kind of trying to force it internally? Sure. Am I going to tell you to start a legal claim over a week's pay with 32 years of service? Perhaps not. There's a line there in the sand where you might not want to force the issue too much, because quite frankly, you're already in a very strong position. And so I would keep that high ground for now. And if something happens in the future, you can perhaps add that to the mix. Otherwise, you know, you may want not want to force the issue too much. Yeah. But really interesting situation, Rick. I appreciate the call, and it's a really delicate one when you're when you're involved in a sale and purchase of a business. Employees are impacted directly, and you're a prime example of that.
Sure. All right. Sounds good then.
Rick, appreciate the call. I'm going to give you a number to reach out to Alex after the show and moving forward with this because, yeah, it's a really interesting scenario. 1-855-821-5900. Again, 1-855-821-5900 and help at employmentlawyer.ca. Appreciate the call, pal. That's, yeah, he's got 32 years. You don't want to rock the boat too much till you tip over, right? I mean, if they ever let him go or tried to force the issue, I mean, that's, you know, that's pretty much max severance for Rick, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we didn't even ask him his age, John, but I'm assuming 32 years of service. He's not going to be a young buck, of course. He's going to be, you know, a little older there, even if in his late 50s or maybe early 60s. And you're absolutely right. That's going to be a 24-month severance package, John. And it's something that sometimes even employers miss, John, when you're, and you could be a large, sophisticated employer taking over or purchasing another business. You don't realize that you're inheriting all of those years of service for those employees of the company that you're taking over. And that comes with potentially a lot of severance, a lot of obligations on that part. And it's tough because I do feel that Rick is definitely owed that week. Again, employers aren't allowed to temporarily lay you off, again, without your consent. But at the same time, I mean, Rick's got, you know, such an established position as a 30-plus year employee. You want to be more strategic in how you approach those issues. You don't want to quit just because you might be owed 1 week's pay, right? You need to handle it a little bit more delicately than that.
And for employers in that situation with a Rick on their hand, is, you know, there's no ways being made. They're just continuing on in employment. How do they protect themselves?
Well, it goes back to the case of the day, John, and why we see employers offering employment contracts to employees. And so as an employer, and listen, you could be a mom and pop shop. You could be a small business, medium-sized business, large international company. The same rules apply. If you are hiring on employees, if you are purchasing another company or taking over you know, a certain department of another company, whatever that transaction is, if you're taking on new employees, that is the opportunity to introduce employment contracts to employees and to introduce terms that might limit their severance, that might give you, as an employer, those rights, those options that you might have to, you know, change employees' positions, whatnot. Listen, as an employer, I mean, we preach from an employee's point of view all the time that be very careful signing these employment contracts.
Yeah.
But it's important to note as well, listen, as an employer, you can be fair and reasonable with your employees. You don't have to offer them the minimum amount of severance in an employment contract. You can offer them severance terms in an employment contract that are very reasonable, that are very fair, and that are a compromise between what an employee's maximum severance entitlements are and what the minimums are, something that both parties can live with. That's oftentimes the best case scenario, John, in these situations. So you can be fair and reasonable as an employer, even if you are introducing contracts in the case of a new employee or even in the case of a purchase and sale of a business.
I hate to say it, but I love to say it. We didn't even get to our focus tonight. That's great because the phone calls took over just the way we like it. We'll do it all again tomorrow night. Tune in. Come back with your questions armed and ready as well. In the meantime, reach out to Alex, 1-855-821-5900. Help at employmentlawyer.ca. And the website always, pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Tomorrow, right here, Employment Law Show on 640 Toronto.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Chorus Entertainment.